What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTelle along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He covers the NFL draft for the Draft Network, also covers the Tennessee Titans, Justin Mello. Justin, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And, man, I thought about you yesterday with the season over with, man, this is sort of our time of the year, draft, free agency, where everything starts to heat up with you kind of – right in the middle of it, covering the Titans. They hold all the cards. And the way I look at it, Travis Hunter is one for me, Abdul Carter is two, and there's a gap after that. But if you convince that Cam Ward is your quarterback, then that's where you got to go. One thing I learned from Bobby Hebert, when working with him all of his years, he said, Mike, I'm going to tell you something. Quarterback trumps every other position out on the field. And he's right about that. But you got to be sure this draft is not, say, loaded with an absolute guy at that quarterback spot. So, one, I'll ask you your thoughts on if the Titans keep the pick. To me, it would have to be at quarterback with Ward. But I think there's a more likely scenario that they try to deal down and get extra selections.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, this is essentially a new regime. General manager Mike Borgonzi in his first year, president of football operations Chad Brinker in his second year, but his first as the de facto decision maker, if you will. Certainly a collaborative effort between him and the general manager that he hired. Now, they're essentially inheriting a second-year head coach in Brian Callahan, who's going to have some input, but I don't think anyone truly believes he's going to have any final say on this. Surely he'd be interested in having a quarterback. He's an offensive-minded guy. Just went 3-14 in his first year with terrible quarterback play from Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. He knows he's entering the year on the hot seat, and he needs a quarterback to help him win football games. Now, I believe the Titans have five options on the table, which is really crazy to say when you're talking about the number one overall pick, but that's how unpredictable this draft is, if you will. They can take one of the two quarterbacks, which of course is Cam Ward or Shador Sanders. They could stay there and take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, or they could deal the pick and maybe hope that they stay within striking distance of Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Maybe say number three overall with the Giants, who may certainly have interest in coming up for a quarterback. So it's a very unpredictable draft. If they're going quarterback, it means they're sold on one of those two. But I agree. I think it's likelier they try to deal this pick and play the patient game when it comes to a franchise quarterback.
Justin, a lot of talk that because he has a residence there, that Aaron Rodgers' next destination may well be the Tennessee Titans. Give us your opinion on that. I don't know how that would go down. Aaron can still play, but, you know, he's not an elite guy anymore. And, boy, that you also got to deal with the storm around him, too.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'll put my hand up and say I share, you know, your same opinion, and I don't know that it's kind of worth the mess at this point. But I'll also say that I could see it happening. You know, I think that Brian Callahan and him would get along very well. You know, Brian Callahan's a very traditional offensive-minded guy. What went so wrong between him and Will Levis this past season is that Callahan's offense demands and even craves a quarterback that throws the football with anticipation and operates an offense with rhythm and timing. That is not Will Levis. He wants the deep developing play action stuff. And Brian Callahan wanted the quick hitters, you know, under center, quick hitters. You kind of know where you're going with the ball. It's been designed for it. And that's Aaron Rodgers. Certainly at this point, you know, certainly we remember him for the off script magic, but there's no doubt. And I've heard this term thrown around a lot lately. It gives me a chuckle. Aaron Rodgers is very quarterbacky. Right? It's anticipation, it's rhythm, it's timing, it's accurate. That's what Brian Callahan wants. And don't forget, now it depends what he thinks of them. It doesn't guarantee they get along. People often forget that part of the evaluation. But their president of football operations, Chad Brinker, he was in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers for about 10 to 15 years. Mm. So there are a lot of ties there, tying this organization to Aaron Rodgers right now. And if they like one of these quarterbacks at number one overall, that means they're going to get a veteran bridge guy. They are not running this back with Will Levis. They cannot sell that to the fan base. No one's showing up if it's Will Levis under center week one. If it's a veteran bridge guy, aren't a lot of options. Aaron Rodgers might sit near the top of their list.
All right, everybody. It's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to the late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, God bless Brian, because I don't know if he's going to survive this. I'll be honest with you, Justin. Will Campbell from LSU, because I think they're going to vie along with Armando from Missouri as the top lineman. And I think both of them start at the tackle position, to be honest with you. Will's got a bit of a funky stance, and they're going to have to do something with that particular deal. But I'll get your opinion on Will Campbell. And I think both him and Mimbo will both go in the top 12 picks in this draft because, you know, I think what the Eagles showed, you got to win up front, offensive, defensive line. There is a ton of defensive linemen in this draft class. Out of my top 75, 24 are defensive linemen. But your thoughts on Will Campbell and kind of he's vying against Armando there for to be the top offensive lineman off the board.
Yeah, first of all, you're on the right track. I'm not surprised you are, but that's about the right number of D linemen to have in this top 75. It's loaded at that spot. You know, with Will, I struggle with the evaluation a little bit. The stance is very funky, as you said. That's going to need some work. I don't think he plays the position with terrific length. You know, coming into this year, this past college football season, a lot of people had kind of anointed him as, you know, him and Kelvin Banks, they're the best tackles in football. I don't really think either of them lived up to that billing this past season. And me personally, could I see him being a tackle? I can, but I like the projection better at guard, in all honesty. Reminds me a little bit about, you know, Peter Skoronski a couple of years ago coming out of Northwestern where, you know, he only played tackle in college. You know, Campbell's not quite as short as he is in terms of the arm length, but they kicked Peter inside, and he's been pretty good at guard. I think for Will Campbell to hit his ceiling, something similar would have to happen. Now, I'm thrilled you bring up the Missouri kid because, you know, this tackle class, it's almost like the quarterbacks, right? Like where we don't know for sure what's going to happen at the top. I think there's a shot the Missouri kid's the best tackle in the class. And I think he could be the first one. And I'll tell you, if I'm the New Orleans Saints, you know, picking there at nine, I'd run that card in zero hesitation. I know they took a tackle in the first last year, but they've kind of needed to be revamping that room, and they need another one, you know, starting up front. For me, Embo, he's a phenomenal prospect. I think he just turned 20 years old, too. Like, the sky's the limit for that kid. There's a chance he's the best tackle in this class.
Justin, you and I on the same wavelength on that. I think he's the one guy, offensive line-wise, is going to make that run And I think you'll have a lot of people looking at him as a top 10 pick. And right, 20 years old, right tackle. The Saints have a left tackle. Taliaase Fuaga, they got one at left. Now you need one at the right tackle, and this draft class is full of defensive linemen. Charlie?
Yeah, real quick on Armand Membu. I mean, Mike and I talked about this as well, Justin. Just look at his tape against Nick Skaraton from Texas A&M, which I know that he maybe didn't live up to expectations preseason-wise, but
man, Nick
Membu just like took him to the woodshed.
He beat him up. He beat him up.
That was as impressive as film you'll see on a tackle in this class. So I like Membu a lot. I agree with both of you. I think he's going to end up being a top 15, if not even top 10 pick. But Justin, looking at this draft class as a whole, it feels like there's kind of those top three guys when you look at Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter and Mason Graham, and all of them are going to be gone by five. Those are like the top blue chip prospects in this class. But I feel like there's still a decent amount of players that could be there for the Saints at pick 9. I don't think this is a trade-up spot for them. If anything, it could be a trade-down spot. But when you're a Saints team that has so many different needs, just top to bottom, offense and defense, this has got to be a best player available spot, right?
I'll throw in what Charlie brings up also. Tyler Warren got to be thrown in here.
I like him a lot.
The tight end from Penn State. I think if they look at someone other than offensive defensive lineman, that guy would be Tyler Warren.
I think there are a couple guys and a couple different directions they could go in. I like what you said. You know, when you've got as many holes as you do, I think you're comfortable kind of letting the board fall to you and making the best decision. I mean, I love the Tyler Warren shout out. The guy is elite, right? I mean, he's an elite route runner. The ball skills are outstanding. A tough cover one-on-one. Safeties and linebackers just cannot match him stride for stride. And then he's great after the catch as well. So he's an all-around player. Really excited about him. And, you know, in a class that's not seen as a high-end, you know, not one of the higher-end draft classes, you have a bit of an easier time selling yourself on a tight end at 9, right? Because you just go get a great football player, right? That's first and foremost. Now, a couple of the other guys, again, because of the holes, I think Jalen Walker, the front seven, Georgia, might be the second best edge rusher in this class. I know it's a bit of a projection play, some off ball, but he's athletic. He's got great instincts. You've seen, you know, the Texas game. Well, I think he had 3 sacks in that one. You saw some of the pure upside as a rusher. I look at Ted McMillan at wide receiver, you know, offensive minded head coach here, and Kellen Moore, a very different player than Chris Olave. So I think you like the idea of pairing them together. Look, you almost look at like a Drake London type of skill set, if you will. But I think he's even more explosive off the line of scrimmage than Drake is. He creates separation. He's elite at the catch point, towering size, really just go up there and go get it. So between a guy like Jalen Walker, a Tyler Warren, a Ted McMillan, the top tackle that we just talked about, whoever that it may end up being, I think the Saints will have a lot of options there at number 9.
Justin, I wish they had one more option, and that's Mason Graham.
He's not going to be there.
But he ain't going to be there. I would wish that.
Justin, I think that Mason Graham to Jacksonville is the easiest projection of this entire draft.
If he's still there, I'll tell you what.
You remember the Magic Johnson meme? I'm not going to be there. I don't think Mason Graham's going to be there at number 9. I'll tell you what. Everyone's talking about Jacksonville at number 5. People are forgetting. Like the New England Patriots at 4. If the top 3 go how we think they will, maybe one quarterback and you get Carter and Hunter, I don't know why we're not mocking Mason Graham to the Patriots. He'll be the best remaining player in the draft. Everyone wants to force an offensive lineman there. They certainly need one. I don't think there's one worth taking at number 4. I don't think they're going to force it. And then you look at who the head coach is, Mike Vrabel, a defensive-minded guy who made a lot of money with a dominant 3-tech in Tennessee with Jeffrey Simmons. Like, Mason Graham is going to be his type of player, and he's going to be the best player on the board. So I don't think he gets past the Patriots at 4, and if he does, Jacksonville runs the card in at number 5.
I agree with you. I think he goes to New England. I think that's I'd love to see the Saints try to make a money, but that's not going to happen. Justin, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, and enjoy having you on the show with us.
Thanks, Justin.
Pleasure's all mine. You gentlemen know where to find me.
All righty. Thank you. That was Justin Mello. He covers the NFL for the Draft Network, also covers Tennessee Titans, so we'll keep in touch with him on exactly what's going to happen with that first overall pick in the draft.